We got the kitchen done, so.
Yeah, State Property Brothers. Yeah, your kitchen's nice, man.
That's we got to get you out here, man. You can, you know, we could bring the equipment downstairs. Just, you know, we could make beats by the fridge. Get hungry, open the fridge door.
You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. Speaking of that, I cracked 2,000 followers this week, and I looked at my phone and said, why? Why do 2,000 of you care about what I have to say? But thank you for following me. I appreciate that. But more important than that, all 2,000 of you need to follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. If Tumblr's down for whatever reason, you can hit us up at podcast.clockradiospeakers.com. Is that correct, Doc?
That's correct. I like that you kind of insult your 2,000 followers and then you compliment them. That's nice. You sort of...
No, that's insulting me.
You're like, no. I don't know why you waste your time on somebody like me, but please follow the show.
No, it's what did Kanye say? All disrespect, no disrespect, Jimmy Kimmel. All disrespect, Ben Affleck. Is that what he said?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either. But something like that. Yeah. All disrespect, Armand Wake Up. No disrespect, Clock Radio Speakers / Armand Wake Up fans. Facebook.com/ Clock Radio Speakers. Instagram at CRS Podcast. We're not on SoundCloud. We are on iTunes. Vote, rate, comment, share, subscribe, all those wonderful, wonderful things. And what's up, Doc? What's going on with you?
Getting used to my new kitchen.
Okay.
Finally got through the renovation for the most part. Plumber's got to come back tomorrow, fix up a couple things, but we have a functioning kitchen. Everything's, you know, for the most part done. So it's nice, you know, running water, sink, a stove.
Stay Property Brothers, man.
Woo! Yeah.
Bang, bang.
Yeah. It turned out really nice.
Yeah, it did. It did. It did.
And as you pointed out when we were talking before the show, we finished it off and, you know, should have celebrated with some big meal and instead promptly went out to dinner that night for my wife's birthday. So, oh well. But we cooked last night.
Listen, like nobody can get on you for that, because how many times do we go and spend $200 on groceries and then like immediately get a pizza for dinner or go out to eat or something like that night? I do that all the time. I'm like, oh, tired from grocery shopping. I'm going to get a burger.
No. And then, of course, immediately on Saturday, was it Saturday or Sunday? I'm losing track of time. Sunday, we went down to New Haven. And so New Haven's known for their pizza. I don't know if you've heard of this.
I have not.
So there's New Haven style pizza, which is kind of similar to New York, except it's done. There's some differences. So New Haven pizza fans, please hold your Twitter mentions. seriously, people get crazy about pizza.
They do. I was just about to say something, but they do.
Yeah, I will say it's similar in concept, except it's probably even a little thinner, and it's cooked in coal fired ovens, and you kind of get like a black char on the bottom. And in New Haven specifically, there's a couple places that specialize in clam pizza.
Clam pizza?
Yeah, you're right by the water. It's a white
clam
pizza.
Chowder?
A white pizza with clam on it.
Chowder. Chowder. Nobody knows that Simpsons reference, but that's cool.
I still haven't
tasted good New York pizza.
Okay, so like, Connecticut is real serious about pizza.
And I feel like New York and Chicago are too. And in Chicago, I had Giordano's, and that was cool, but I only had half a slice and got full.
Listen, don't talk to me about Chicago pizza. That's not pizza. That's like bread in the oven, man. I don't even know what that is.
You guys are funny.
No.
Look, all this East Coast, West Coast beef, man.
That's how I feel about Chicago pizza, for real. Like, it's some sort of food stuff, but like, I'm not really... I don't understand what they're trying to do. Is it a pie? Is it a pizza? I'm confused. Like, pizza should be relatively thin crust.
So,
and I have a bunch of coworkers from Chicago, and you know, they're all going out to these places. Like my wife went out to Chicago earlier this year, and you know, she did the whole tourist thing and ate at the, you know, I think the same spot you did. And she was like, yeah, you know, it was pretty good. But she was like, for Chicago pizza. And I was like, that's right. gotta qualify.
And that's why I married you. So what's Cali known for? Like, is it Mexican food? Is that what they're known for?
Yeah, I mean, their weather is so good that like they don't have to worry about food. You know what I mean? Like they're not sitting there like, what am I gonna do with my time? I will learn how to do this amazing food. It's the same reason why like if you live in like San Diego or Miami, a lot of times. Like sports teams that aren't really doing well will sometimes kind of struggle to get fans,
mm-hmm.
because in Miami you can do so many other things. In California, yep. It's like you can do, you know, if you're like in New York and Chicago, like there are huge chunks of the year where you're just indoors.
True. So good got, point.
That's when you learn how to make pizza.
Good point. That makes good no point. Sense. Good point. Nah, that's real.
That's why. That's why. Like in Philadelphia, that's why like fans care so much. It's Philly.
Oh, about the cheesesteaks?
No, I mean about their sports teams.
Oh, about their sports team. Oh, never mind.
Cold weather fans, I feel like they're obsessed. I'm not saying that's better. I'm saying about cold weather cities, their fans are obsessed.
Yeah, Philly. Who did they boo? Didn't they boo Ashanti and Ja Rule that one year? And then they booed Destiny's Child?
I mean, they threw snowballs at Santa Claus.
I was going to say, didn't they boo Santa Claus and they threw snowballs at him? Jesus. Dude. Come on, man.
So what is Columbus known for food?
A little bit of everything. It's
please tell me y'all don't do that weird Cincinnati chili stuff.
You know what? I'm gonna say this. I feel like there's gonna be some Ohioans who like respond to this and say, "Well, we're known for this." But the spots that I've been to, I know Columbus has a really big beer scene.
Okay.
Very, but I go to a lot of hipster spots because I'm a fake hipster, not a real hipster. I'm a fake hipster. So a lot of breweries. I can't say breweries.
We're off to a strong start today.
Yeah, strong start. But there's a little bit of everything out here just because I'm recognizing how much of a melting pot is here. So we've got good Mexican food, good Italian food, good burgers, good pizza, good Chinese food, you know, it's a little bit of everything out here. Well, so I'm not sure about one thing in particular, but I'm sure there is one thing somewhere. And one of our lovely fans will tell us about it this week on Twitter. I'm positive. So I don't know when you come out here. I've been thinking about that. Like, where am I going to take Doc? Because you have a very high palate. So I can't just take you anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really got to take you somewhere like snooty, but
no,
snooty.
No,
but snooty from a food perspective, not snooty like. But it's got. I gotta only take you to good spots.
Were you trying to do like Pepe Le Pew there? What was going on?
A little bit.
A little bit.
That was my inspiration.
Okay. Yeah. No, it doesn't have to be snooty. I mean, like sometimes I'll just be like, man, I want some Five Guys. Five Guys isn't snooty.
I'm not taking you to Five Guys. I wouldn't disrespect you like that.
Listen, I'll go to Five Guys.
I know you will, but I'm not going to disrespect you.
I didn't realize Five Guys had shakes now. Did you see this?
What?
And it's
I haven't been to Five Guys in like 3 months. So
at least the one that they opened up in my town does, and it's the same concept they apply to burger toppings. They apply to shake toppings. So you get the base shake, and then you can mix and match and put whatever you want in it.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on. See, I pulled up the Five Guys app right now. All they have are drinks. So maybe the app just hasn't updated to it yet.
So it's come. It's not everywhere yet. I'm looking at it right now. So there's 10 different mix-ins. So there's bacon.
Salt, in the shake.
Uh huh.
I'm good.
Salted caramel, Oreo cookies.
Okay.
Peanut butter.
Okay.
So can I get a whole list? Instead, they've got me scrolling through like, oh, cherries, Oreo cookies.
Can I get a what?
No, I'm like, can you guys just give me like an ingredient list? Instead, they're trying to make me scroll through like some Pinterest style thing. It's like, come on, man.
Come on, you know how to go.
Oh, so you can sort. See, now I'm on the Five Guys website. This is bad news. Milkshakes. Let's see. In Ohio. So, some places in. No.
Nothing in Ohio.
Columbus, the one on North Hamilton.
Where's the one on North Hamilton? That's not far from me. North Hamilton's like 5 minutes from me.
You're like, wait a minute.
only guys like me can buy jackets like that. Hey, I'm a guy like me. Another Simpsons reference.
Yeah, I guess so. There's you guys got a bunch in Columbus, man.
Yeah, people eat here in Columbus.
I'm looking at the list. I'm like Columbus.
Lots of food going on around here.
Yeah, that's the only one in the Columbus area. It's 5004 North Hamilton.
Okay. Yeah. No, Hamilton's like right around the corner.
See, there you go.
Interesting. Very interesting. When is this going to get? Okay. All right. So, we'll figure something out. I figure Friday, you know, I'm taking Friday off, and a half day on Thursday. So we'll figure something out Friday in the big studio session and maybe even some other Clock Radio speakers related stuff.
Okay. So I've got the full milkshake mixing list. So there's,
okay, what is it?
There's bacon, banana,
no,
chocolate.
Okay.
Cherry.
Okay.
Coffee.
Oh, no.
Dark vanilla syrup. Malted milk.
Okay.
Oreo cookie pieces.
Okay.
The actual just Oreo cream.
Oh, my God. No.
Peanut butter.
Okay.
Salted caramel.
Okay.
Strawberry.
Okay.
But see, you could do some diabolical combinations there.
You really could.
Right.
Like, you really
could. I could see how somebody would go for the peanut butter and bacon.
You know what? I would do that just to be ignorant and Instagram it.
And see, I would be like, get me the banana, chocolate, peanut butter.
Oh, I'd make those at home.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to go and spend those shakes, what, like $5, $6 or something like that?
Every time I get if I go to a place and get smoothies, first of all, I try to avoid the ones that might as well just have like 10 packets of sugar dumped in them. But
yeah.
That's the hardest part. You try to, like, you're like, yeah, smoothie could be good. I could live with that. And then you're like, you're looking at the menu and it's basically just like sweet, 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 sweet. It's like, come on.
Yep. Yep. I'll just get a bottle of water. Call it a day.
So I love this. So I'm taking notes for, you know, what we talk about, because I always do that. And the first thing we talked about was Five Guys milkshakes. So, you know, this is a successful show right now.
Listen, we're almost 300 episodes in. This is just what we do. It is what it is. Holler at your boy. We in the building. William A. So what are we talking about this week, man?
So the main topic, we're going to talk about Schoolboy Q's album, but before we get there,
okay.
Last week we talked briefly about the fact that I rediscovered the Bad Boy mixtapes from the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I downloaded volumes 1 through 4, and so they were in various conditions. Volume one sounded like it was recorded off of a like cassette tape.
Did you just find like a litter of puppies and like each one of them like some were healthy and some weren't?
That's how I feel. I just nursed this volume one back to health. I had to filter out the tape hiss and EQ it. And so I did all that today, but I was listening to it and some of the songs, I was like, what is this song? And that's when I realized, I was like, oh, right. I forgot like the common like remix, like white label remix in the 90s, where it'd be like, we're going to take this R&B song and we're going to have the singer do it over a rap beat from the year before. And then we're going to have another rapper do a guest verse.
Yep. Yep. I mean, but that was Bad Boy. That's Bad Boy.
Right.
Who got
95.
That idea? Who got that idea from Ron G?
Right.
Who was the first person to do? I don't know if he was the first, but he was the most successful person who did blend tapes, which was to take an R&B a cappella and put it over a hip hop beat.
Right. So I don't know. Volume one has some Mary J. remix with Mr. Cheeks over the What beat, and I was like, never heard that before.
Yeah, I feel like I just have to. Never.
So you said you had a story about.
Oh, I just, okay. So have you listened to volume 4 yet? Is volume 4 the one with SNS?
I think so.
So the funny thing about that is if you have this, or Doc, I wish you could listen to this live on the show. I kind of want you to pull it up on your phone. But the intro is Gina Thompson, Things You Do, Bad Boy Remix, classic. Why isn't Gina Thompson going to be at the Bad Boy Tour? I would kill for that. So SNS is a very loud mixtape DJ, and like him and Puff Daddy are like yell battling, and it's hilarious. It's like SNS is cutting the record up and Puff, and like they're yelling back and forth on this.
Oh, I look forward to that. I did listen to the intro. I think it might be volume 3, where it's Puff just talking ridiculousness over Hit 'Em Up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You got to listen to the side B intro. Like he's sitting there
and he's like applauding like Tupac for like winning the Oscar for best actor. Like I was like, oh
yeah. You hadn't heard that before?
No.
Yeah. I remember that was on Soul like in 04, 05, something like that. But yeah, see, there's this narrative, and I think we talked about this on our classic Bad Boy retro.
I'm sure we
but
did.
there's this narrative that Bad Boy never dissed Death Row, Tupac, the West Coast, that they always took the high road.
No.
If we want to talk about, I mean, so do we know for sure if Who Shot You was a passive aggressive response to Pi getting shot, or was the timing off?
I don't know if we'll ever know the truth on that.
But however, we can say that definitely, was it you're nobody till somebody kills you that has the Pac shot?
I mean,
Long Kiss Goodnight. That's what I'm thinking of. Slugs hit you, I ain't mad at you, and then Puff kind of snickers in the background. So
that's a great Puff ad-lib, by the way.
It very, very, very much so. It's like, it's evil because it came out after Pac died and they totally could have edited it out and they didn't.
You know how they have like, sometimes they'll do like, obviously like producer beat battles are definitely a thing, but sometimes they'll have like big name producers. They'll get them together for a set and they'll basically like play like one of their songs versus another. It's not really a traditional beat battle because everybody knows the beats, but
I'm talking about what Alchemist and Just Blaze right. do. And,
what, yeah. what I need is like an ad lib or Slick Talk off. Like, give me Swiss and Puff up there.
Mm.
And you could just put on random. Actually, and I think a fun part would be you have a DJ who's just putting on random records, and it's like a challenge. It's almost like they're sort of like setting the challenge out there, and then each one's got to get out there and one up the other.
Is it like a hype man battle? Can we include Fat Man Scoop in there?
See, then you're going to get into a problem of like volume and like he's just going to be louder.
Volume.
He's just going to out-scream the other one. Does Puffy, I mean, I have questions about like, do they get to bring like accessories? Like, is Puff allowed to bring the thing that distorts his voice on Victory?
Right.
Because, you know, right. that could be an edge right there.
If he does that, then Swiss has to bring the whistle.
Can you imagine he's got an actual gym whistle around his
neck? Yes. And it's around his neck. It's like gold and it's like it's got like the Swiss Beats logo like engraved on it or the Rough Rider logo on it.
He's got like symbols on his elbows and knees. And
So shout out to one of our faithful listeners, A1. Follow him on Twitter at A1TheLP because he is gradually going through all of our old episodes. So he points out today that at the end of episode 158, we play Big Business or Bigger Business at the end of the episode, which is preceded by us prefacing a Busta Rhymes retrospective by laughing at some of the records on Anarchy. but like, do you remember that Instagram video that Swiss had that was the preface to the Alicia Keys performance at the BET Awards? And because you made a comment and I completely forgot about this slander where like you said, you were like Swiss Beats was like hitting the keyboard with his elbows.
Yes.
The image of that is just priceless. See,
when I see it in my head, he's like gritting his teeth. He's like really putting in work. He's like reaching over. He's like, you know.
Because he's doing that right. He's doing that ad lib. He's doing like. Right. And he's like, he's growling a little bit. He has to. He's the scrappy doo of Rough Riders.
Oh.
He is.
Who, if you would have told me in 1998 that out of everybody associated with Rough Riders, Swiss Beats would have had the longest and most fruitful career, I don't know if I would have believed you.
I don't know, man.
I give him credit. Yeah, actually, we'll talk about it. He's on the Schoolboy Q album. We'll talk about him in a little bit.
Oh, is he?
Okay. Please.
Did I not pick it? All right, that's cool. All right, cool story.
All right.
You know what? Side note, we didn't talk about this before we went on air, but your man Timmy Duncan.
Tim Duncan retired.
Hanging the boots up.
No retirement tour. He will not be showered with gifts at every stop. He won't try to go for 60 in his last game. He will not feel like Kobe.
Man. So do you think that was in direct response to what Golden State did?
No, I think he's done. He played 20 years. He tried. He did everything he could.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of people have said that, you know, well, you know, why didn't, you know, he should have retired after 2014 and go out on the high note. And no athlete, we've talked about this in the show, almost no athlete knows when to go out, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of them go out too early, or what we perceive as too early, because of injuries, or now we're seeing with like concussion or fear of concussion related stuff. Like, I totally forgot Calvin Johnson retired.
Oh yeah, he retired like last year, didn't he?
Yeah, right. But I told you, I read something about it and I was like, oh right, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Or like, I saw a thing, somebody linked me to it. It was actually on our new favorite sports website, the Players Tribune, which I still trying to wrap my brain around, because it's kind of funny. But a guy who was quarterback at UConn wrote a thing up on there, and he was like a quarterback for a couple years, and he quit. He retired. It's like, mm-hmm. as like a 20 or 21 or whatever year old, because he had had 13 concussions, and he was and he was describing like when he knew he had his last play. And you read that and you're just like, this guy's like 20, 21 years old, and he's already like, he already sounds like he's in terrible shape.
Wow.
So like, and I felt terrible. And I'm like, so, you know, I think we'll see more of that. And, you know, so yeah. back to the whole retirement thing. So like, you have guys who retire what is perceived as too early, whether it's Barry Sanders retiring. That was always crazy. Can you imagine if that happened now?
Oh, he would never hear the end of it.
Or guys hang on too long. And the history of guys hanging on too long is often paired with the ego of those guys, right? Mm-hmm. Like they could mm-hmm. never fade away. And I think to Duncan's credit, he probably stayed, you know, if you want to think of like, did he leave it when he was still like close to the peak of his ability? No, but he was still useful. Like, you know, he wasn't like, you know, harming the team by being out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he left. Right. So I don't know. And he didn't make a big deal about it. Everybody's lionizing him for that. And I'm like, all right, well, he went out the way he wanted to go out.
Yep.
If he wanted to do a retirement tour, I'm sure people will do it because he's a legend.
Yep. Right.
I don't know where he ranks in like the top whatever, but he's definitely a top 15 guy, maybe top 10 guy.
He's easily in the conversation as one of the at least the best power forwards ever. In the conversation with the greatest, I think so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, greatest power forward is kind of a funny one. And how we define like greatest insert position going forward will be really weird, because I feel like positions are they're kind of evolving right now.
They are.
You know, LeBron is going to LeBron will be considered a small forward, but yeah, okay.
LeBron, you can't use LeBron as an example. LeBron is just different.
He is, but there's a lot of players who are going to be like that. Like, I mean, actually, Tim Duncan's an excellent example. There were a lot of years he basically played center.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so, but anyway, nah, he's a legend. San Antonio fans are hurting right now. You know, they didn't quite get the last big piece to sort of replace him, but they've, you know, they got Kawhi, they got LaMarcus. Paul Gasol is going to come in and he'll hold it down and, you know, in Duncan's spot, and they'll be okay. I don't know. Maybe they have another move left in them. I don't know what the deal is, but they're going to be all right. Because you could see in a lot of places where, like, you know, a guy like that leaves and, you know, they don't know what to do next. Because, like, I think LA is a great example. They kind of had to put off their rebuilding until Kobe could, you know, leave.
Mm-hmm.
They started a little early, but they really couldn't kick it off. Whereas, you know, San Antonio kind of just reloaded on the fly. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
All right.
I think that's it. I don't have anything to say about Tim Duncan.
You want to talk about your man, Sean Corey Carter?
Yeah, let's talk about freaky beatnik Sean Carter.
So, on July 8th, looks like. So that was...
Was that a Thursday?
Friday?
Or was that a Wednesday? Was that a Friday?
I think it was Friday. Yeah.
It was a Friday. Yep.
Friday morning.
Now it was Thursday night.
All right. Thursday night.
Yeah, Thursday night.
Thursday night. Jay puts out... puts up a song, and he puts an explanation of the song up on Tidal called Spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
He says he made the song a year or so ago and never got around to finishing it. So it is, yeah, I mean, so it is in essence a response to, or at least his commentary on what has been going on with police in America shooting mm-hmm. what appears to be mostly African-American men.
Mm-hmm.
Although there have been cases of African-American women also dying. So we'll just say police shooting African-Americans. With a song like this, it can sometimes be difficult to separate the message from like the song itself on a technical level.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really think it was a good song.
Yeah.
But I think the notion of Jay speaking out is super interesting because this is not in his brand historically. I think he's come a little bit more towards being personal and talking about stuff like this as time goes on, as he gets older probably.
Yeah.
But this is not this is not something I would really expect from Jay. Am I wrong there?
I think Jay has always, not always, but Jay, I say within the last, at least 5 years, if not longer. This isn't the first time that, I think probably with Obama was maybe the first time where he began to express beliefs outside of Money Cash Hoes and my dad.
Right.
You know, so did he put out a song when Obama got elected? History?
Oh, I forgot about that.
With CeeLo, right?
Wow. I really forgot. I bet you most Jay fans have forgotten about that.
My favorite random Jay record is still Glory. Nah, that record is dope. That record is like sneaky dope. And not because I'm a sappy father, but like, I just think him and Pharrell, like they hit more than they miss. I just think him and Pharrell, like, yeah. But I mean, go back and listen to Watch the Throne. You know, it's funny because I remember the commentary on that was always like they're being very pro-black, very proud of their heritage and their color and all that stuff. And it was kind of like, oh, well, why are they doing that? You know, before it was the quote unquote trendy thing to do.
Yeah, that is definitely Watch the Throne is definitely a celebration of two black men who have made it.
Yeah.
And what it means to be two black men who have made it.
Yeah.
You've talked about it before. That is an album that parts of it are aging really nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, this isn't a surprise, but I think with, you know, coming up, we had stuff like Self-Destruction. We're all in the same gang. I mean, even Take It Back, Wheel of the World, the Dr. King celebration song. Like, there have, even the, do you remember the 9/11 record, when they redid What's Going On? So, like, I mean, as good or bad as some of these records are, it's very alarming that celebrities aren't going out of their way to be more vocal outside of Twitter and social media.
I think for a while it used to be seen that if you were, and this definitely applied to athletes, but I feel like it really specifically sort of applied to black men who were famous celebrities. If you were a black celebrity, it was seen as sort of prudent if you tried to be very neutral, I think, about almost anything. Jordan embodied this. If you think about Tiger Woods, for the longest time was, you know, he was, well, certainly his mixed background and heritage was certainly something that people knew about. I can never remember him taking a political stand of any kind.
No.
Because Jordan kind of set this template, right? Of, boy, how do I say this without sounding condescending to Michael Jordan, a man that I've never met? If you don't know any better, it can come off as sort of being like, well, if I don't offend the white people, then they'll buy my stuff. Like, that's how, like, if you want to be cynical, you can look at it that way. And I think that was sort of a default attitude that I think people kind of expected athletes and celebrities to have in a certain way, right? Like, why do you, why are we making it about this? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but to be optimistic, you could also say, well, I just play basketball. You know, Charles Barkley, I'm not a role model. You know, some celebrities could take that stance as well.
Sure.
You know, like, I guess here's the question. Do they have to say something?
Well, that's right. Are celebrities obligated to say anything?
Because my whole thing, anytime stuff like this happens, I'm just taken back to the Dave Chappelle Where's Ja skit. Like, I don't care what Ja Rule has to say about 9/11. I don't want to dance. I'm scared to death. Because it's like, I mean, I don't need to hear. It's great. I'm not saying that, like, they should stay silent. If your convictions lead you to speak up about it, speak up. But if you don't, is that necessarily a bad thing?
I think the difference between the Where's Ja thing, I think, right, I think that asking a celebrity, any random celebrity about any random news event doesn't necessarily like, okay, whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
If you think about what Jay, especially for his sort of celebrated ascendance into hip hop, like what Jay rapped about, the struggle that he rapped about, even if he was always the successor of that struggle, right? Jay didn't often rap about like the down, like he sometimes would do it, but often it wasn't so much about like Jay losing at it. I mean, Jay would battle sort of internally and sort of, you know, you have a song like Regrets or something like that, but Jay would sort of rap about him succeeding through this life, right?
Sure. Yep.
So for a rapper who raps about that, that's different than asking like Jay about 9/11. But you know what? Jay rapped about 9/11.
Bootleg is bombing and Bin Laden. I'm still cracking. I will not lose. I simply refuse.
I dropped the same day as the Twin Towers.
Yep.
People thought that was a dope freestyle. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was dope at the time. I heard it like I found Stadium Series Part 3. I found it on a website that will not be named because I'm going to be selfish and not give the website out. Oof. But it's not very good in retrospect.
That's a case where him being political was, I mean, everybody was going to say something about 9/11. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was a universe. That wasn't a controversial thing to do. It's not. Yeah, I think that's a better term to use. Right. Controversy versus political. Because if everybody's all on the side of one thing.
Yep.
It's free and clear.
Yep.
But what's happening in America? Well, and this is the second thing I wanted to talk about, which is really the larger sort of issue that's happening here, which is we have police that are getting shot. We have, you know, sort of sprung up out of the disaster in Ferguson. We have the Black Lives Matter movement and all that it may or may not be. And we have, of course, a backlash to that, whether people saying all lives matter, which drives me crazy, or better. What I love is people who support cops who say blue lives matter. And it's like, okay, let's just, man, I got so angry just thinking about those two phrases that I actually lost track of where I was going. So these are not universally accepted as, you know, everybody's cool with this. This is not 9/11 where, I mean, I'd be embarrassed right now if, like, I'm glad we didn't have Twitter in 2001 because I would have had to go, like, I'm sure I said really ignorant stuff. I would have said really ignorant stuff about let's bomb the Middle East because that's what everybody said. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Because it was like this patriotic rah-rah America thing.
Yep.
But what's happening now is controversial, clearly. And Jay's not just a rapper, as he is so famous for saying, he's a business, man, right? Like he owns Tidal or most of it or however that works. He has he's got other stuff. Like he could theoretically, risk offending someone at this point. So that could impact his wallet, right? Could impact his money. But I haven't heard anybody say anything about this song, really. There's been no controversy or anything. So it seems like he's going to be fine there. But I think that's the difference with something like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like for a long time, it wasn't so much about being political. It was about being controversial in a way that might offend some of your fans.
Yeah. I think that's it exactly. I think it's very, I said this on a record on Chevy and Poly Music 2. Like, it's really easy to speak the truth in a room where everyone believes the same things as you. Mm. So, you know, if we're all on one side, I mean, you know, we could just as easily say, you know, the sky is blue. But if somebody's like, well, the sky is green and this is why, you know, they're going, it's a bad example, but, you know, who would stand on the other side if their convictions and their beliefs led them to challenge the status quo? I think we can all agree that, you know, this is a tragedy beyond a tragedy. It's shocking, but it's not. So I don't know if anybody's going to necessarily stand on the other side of that, but we are seeing people who stand on the other side of that. And it's like, are we going to, I think one of my theories about America is just like, you know, It's say what you want, do what you want, as long as you don't offend the majority. Mm. You know, like if we're a free country, then if you believe in something, I also have the freedom to disagree with what you believe in. Now, if that turns into violence or bigotry or hatred or racism or, you know, hating a specific group of people because of that, that's when it goes too far. But, you know, I have the freedom to disagree with you just as much as you have the ability to believe in something and vice versa. But as a whole, I don't want to say as a whole, because I also believe that, see, and I said this offline, like I didn't have nothing to say, and here you go. I also believe that social media at times does a real good job of making the minority seem like the majority. So at times you kind of realize that I think you fail to realize that for the most part, a lot of people are thinking the same things. You know what? This is terrible towards Black people. Black people do not deserve this behavior. At the same time, nobody needs to be shooting and killing cops either. That cops, the police force as a whole is not this group of this gang that's just out to get people and they're all evil. Nobody thinks that. But there is a remnant of people who do. And because they're so loud in that, it makes you seem like their voice is bigger than what it is. So we take a stance on the other side of it to sort of look like, or to come against it. And we're using all this energy. It's like, if there's 100,000 people on one side, if this is Braveheart and one army has 100,000 people and the other side has 1,000 people, why do you need 100,000 people to fight 1,000 people? Send some of the people home. You don't need all that weight. I don't know if any of that makes sense, but.
Yeah, I think it does. So you're fucking try to sum up some of that. So you think that part of this is really that the technology has sort of enabled the loudest on each side to be amplified so much that that sounds like what everybody agrees on because they dominate the discourse.
Yeah, I think that I don't know if I would use the word dominate, but I would say balloon, embellish. Okay.
Sure.
I think embellish is a good word. You know, yeah.
One thing that I think is interesting is I feel, and I'm going to go ahead and just, I'll keep it really honest here. I feel like the sense I get from reading online, specifically from whether it's an average person writing on Twitter or a journalist or whatever, if you're white, then the feeling seems to be that like, wow, are things getting worse, right? This notion of like, what's going on with America?
Mm-hmm.
And I, as a white male, who didn't, you know, who grew up with many privileges, I don't have nearly as much of a leg to stand on to talk about this, but I feel like even based off my small shred of being in, mixed groups where it's not just white people, or even hanging out in a group of people where it's primarily African American or even Hispanic, and seeing how the cops treat them, to me, it's not that things are getting worse. It's that we have technology now that makes it more obvious when these things happen. Like, it's not like all of a sudden cops have decided to pull people over for no reason whatsoever.
Yep.
Like, I remember when I first got my first small taste of this, I was probably 12, 13 years old, lived in New Jersey. I was at the base BXPX, the Combined Army Air Force BXPX. And it was me and three of my friends. They were African-American. And we walked in, and, you know, it's like 96. So we've got our baggy jeans on. You know, it was winter. Probably had some large bubble goose jackets. You know, it was 1996. And I had never in my...
You guys look like y'all were signed to Duck Down Records.
That's exactly what we look like. As much as, you know, kids who didn't have a lot of money could make that look work. And sure. And I immediately could tell the difference in how security guards treated me, how the people at the register treated us. And I just remember trying to figure it out. Like, I was like, what is... Like, I was actually, you know, I was a little ignorant because you're 13 years old and you don't know anything. And I was just like, I don't understand, like, why... Like, but we're just sitting there literally going through, like, the CD... Like, literally finding, like, you know, new CDs to buy or... You know, looking at whatever, and this is like on a military base where it's not even like there's a big threat of, you know, like it's not like anything crazy is going to go down. It's in a BXPX, like there's not.
Like they're probably going. Your dad's probably going to get in trouble if you shoplift from the BX.
Right.
So you're not going to do it.
I actually had a friend when I lived in North Carolina who was like 10 years old and shoplifted from the BX.
You got caught.
got caught. I think he was trying to steal some like Tommy cologne or something like that. one of those mid-90s colognes. Remember that Michael Jordan cologne, the worst smelling cologne in history?
I had the whole pack. I had the whole box.
No. Did you get it for Christmas?
Of course I did. I believe I got it with my Space Jams, I think.
Oh, wow. You were really all Michael Jordan'd out.
Of course.
I tell you, I watched Space Jam for the first time in a long time, and it was terrible.
It's so bad.
Oh, my God. I had to stop.
It's really, really bad. Yeah, the kids like Little Giants. I had the kids watch. If you follow me on Twitter, I had the kids watch Little Giants yesterday.
Yeah.
They liked it, but my daughter preferred Rookie of the Year, but still likes The Sandlot better than both of them. Mm. And I'm not sure what to make them watch next. I'm drawing a blank. Maybe the Mighty Ducks?
Yeah. Mighty Ducks 1 and 2.
1 and 2. Got to do D2. I think D2 is better than part 1, isn't it?
It is, but you got to set the stage.
Got to set the stage. Okay, I'll do that next.
D2 is a classic.
Yes, it is. All right, now continue your story about...
Yeah, so anyway, all it took was that one little small interaction to sort of plant a seed in my head of, oh, wow, so... Even though frankly, because you could look at it and go, well, somebody could hear me say that story and be like, well, you know, you were like 12 or 13. You had oversized baggy clothes on, you know, at the prime age for doing something stupid or whatever else. And they might be, listen, I went into BX's and any other store all over the place and never encountered anything remotely like that. It was because there was a bunch of black kids with me.
Right.
And I feel like I know this isn't always the case, but I feel like especially outside of certain cities, I feel like in a weird way, America is just becoming more segregated.
It is.
And so when you aren't around people who are different than you, then you don't have even a smidge of a perspective. And worse yet, you sort of start to think of them as other, and you lose that empathy and even remote understanding. You know what I mean? Of what that person might be going through, or the fact that their lives might be a little bit different.
Yeah.
Like just like I'm glad I even had that little sort of small example to sort of think about, but to sort of bring back to the larger example, like the problem isn't that all of a sudden we've had this surge in not all police, but in certainly a large enough number of police scattered, not just, you know, it's not just in like, you know, quote unquote, the racist South. Like clearly it's happening in other parts of the country who, I mean, frankly, seem to target and overreact and get into these terrible situations with people of color. And it far too often results in violence that seems to be completely unwarranted.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think it's because you have cops that don't live in their neighborhoods like they used to. On top of that, you have, you know, especially if you're a white cop, you probably, I'm not everyone, but odds are you probably live in a neighborhood with mostly white people. Most of your friends are probably white people. And I'm not saying you can't be friends with who you want to be friends with, but when you don't have that exposure to people and all you do is every day you go to work and you're asked to go take care of this and take care of that, like it colors your worldview. You know what I mean? It's kind of like in a weird way, it's almost like, I mean, it's almost kind of related to like the phrase, like, the shoemaker's kids don't have good shoes, like that concept, because all he does is like do that all day, so he doesn't really care. Like when I worked IT, the last thing I wanted to do when I came home was to fix someone's computer, because that's all I did all day long, and I would sort of have my worldview be kind of colored like that. And this is a much more extreme example, but like if, you know, there are systematic reasons why historically in America people of color are making less money and are in worse neighborhoods than white people, when you have that. But when you're a cop every day and your job, or you think your job, is to go into, you know, we declared a war on drugs, we armed them up like they were really in the army, gave them all this weaponry, we told them it was war on drugs, and then they went and they fought that war. Well, they're going to, you know, it's not surprising that here we are generations into this, that now we have this technology that can enable people to not just record it, but then spread the recording. You don't have to rely on the news media, and to mobilize together. It seems like a sort of confluence of events that has resulted in where we're at today.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't want people to turn this into all, because I think sometimes I feel like our culture just wants like a big bang answer. like, well, if we do this, then that'll get rid of this and this and this and this and this. And you and I have talked about this extensively, I think back to the Ferguson show, where it's like, this is the rumblings of, shoot, low-key since the inception of our nation, right. of problems that we've had. And if America is a nation of immigrants, then dare I say these problems probably exist in the rest of the world. So, you know, I just don't want this to turn into an all cops, all black people. I mean, like, you know, when I tweeted and posted about getting pulled over that weekend, the weekend of the 4th of July, and I was speeding. I should have got pulled over. I was speeding. I was doing 20 over. And the funny part was my daughter was kind of like, she was making fun of me because she was like, Dad, every time we go on a road trip that's longer than an hour and a half or 2 hours, you get pulled over for speeding. And it's true. I get pulled over all the time for speeding when I go to Detroit or out of town, whatever, whatever. And I need to use Waze and cruise control. I know I'm stupid. And number one, two things that really stuck out to that. Number one, my son was in the back and he was scared. Mm. Like, Dad, he said, Dad, are we going to go to jail? I said, no. And then he said, is he going to hurt you? Ugh. That bothered me. Then number two, when the cop approached my car, I had everything out already.
Right.
If you're pulling me over, I know you're going to ask for license, registration, and insurance. So soon as you get to the car, I know you have to ask because that's protocol, but I'm right there. I'm not going to say, well, and I'm not blaming, you know, anybody for not doing this, but it just so happened that I was proactive in just already giving him my stuff. And I share that story just to say we weren't thinking about that, but now we're coming into a place where anytime a black person gets pulled over, I mean, and primarily black people, because we've also seen, I've seen some white people getting killed by cops recently. I saw, I believe it was a Native American. I believe there was a Mexican or a Spanish person. Anytime a cop approaches the car now, they're going to be just as scared as we are. And I don't want to live in a world where that exists, but it looks like that's what we're going to. I don't want to put my tinfoil hat on and talk about what I believe this is, what it looks like and what it's setting and what it looks like it's setting itself up to. But some of these stories, I'll say this much, some of these stories, I honestly don't believe that these were even cops. That's my conspiracy theory.
Why do you say that?
I believe this is all like a setup for the militarization of police.
That's already, I mean, look, we already gave it. We gave them tanks and we told them to go fight a war on drugs, but a war. Like, the line has certainly been blurred, but you mean something more literal.
Yeah. I mean, like, actually in your neighborhoods.
Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I 100% prescribe that. I mean, to me, I think it's actually kind of interesting. Like, so in the South, there were, you know, in the South leading up to the emergence of the civil rights movement, it's not like all of a sudden in the 1950s, cops started doing terrible things entire cities started doing terrible things in the South specifically, but all over the country to their black citizens. It's that TV was this new medium. And when you all of a sudden brought, you know, images, you know, and video of incredible, you know, just unbelievable acts of atrocity being committed upon people of color, and you're airing that live into homes across the nation, the power of that new medium, I think, kind of changed the conversation. And I think, obviously, internet's been around for, you know, a while, but I think the, not just emergence, but sort of ubiquitous and accepted nature of social media is now allowing the same to happen, just mm-hmm. in a different level. So to me, it's, you know, I've seen like news articles, people go, you know, is this 1968? And to me, it's like, well, this might be like 1955.
Right.
Or maybe 1964 before the Watts riot. Like, please don't fool yourself. Like, what was happening? Like, there haven't been riots yet. Like, yep. burn the whole city down riots.
Yeah.
Riots that, frankly, 50 years, some cities just never recovered from.
Yep.
Riots that sparked the phenomenon of white flight, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Where it was the twofold, right? we built highways that cut through cities, and then literally like, and then, you know, you couple that with riots, and literally like on these brand new highways, you had families just moving up, like literally take the highway, go right to the suburbs where it took you to. Like, we're not at that point yet. So people are like, oh, isn't it 60? People are like, oh, you know, it's not that bad. It's like, no, but I don't think it's a stretch to say that the power, the ubiquity, the sort of ease of sharing video and of mobilizing that social media allows. I don't think we know where this will go yet, but it feels like the early days. And I have, you know, like, I have no idea where this ends up or how we fix this, because we've never fixed this problem. This is America's original sin.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Is this the end of side A?
This is the end of side A. Boy, we really had a barn burner of a side A. We went from Five Guys milkshakes to America's original sin.
We hope you enjoyed side A of this week's episode. Please check out side B at clockradiospeakers.com.